Today, we'll talk about my ranking of Disney World Value Resorts. That's coming up on this episode 122 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 122. It has been a little while, hasn't it? It has been a much needed break that allowed me to kind of get some things in order, get some things done. And I actually just got back from a Disney World trip. So that was really great. It was probably the least crowded I have seen it on my trips in the last 2 years or so, which is fantastic. It also didn't hurt that the weather felt a lot more like being at Disneyland than Disney World, because the mornings and evenings were cool. Midday was nice and sunny, and the humidity was really low. So it was really just a great time. And we did Flower and Garden Festival, which just opened while we were there, and Epcot was just beautiful as usual. Got to do lots of Star Wars things at Hollywood Studios, got to try out Skipper Canteen at Magic Kingdom, actually ate there twice, we liked it so much. Got to have Garden Grill at Epcot, which I loved. I think I'm going to talk about character meals in a future podcast episode, because I want to sort of rank those as well, and because some are better than others. And so that was really fun. But another thing that we got to do was to stay at Value Resorts. We stayed at All Star Sports and Art of Animation on this trip, including taking tours of different parts of the resort and like taking lots of pictures. And so now I have stayed at all the Value Resorts in the last, I think, 2 or 3 years. And so I wanted to just take some time today to go through those and talk about the how I rank them. I should say that before I started staying at the Value Resorts, I had only stayed in deluxe resorts and I think one moderates, or maybe one or two moderates before that. And so I was a little bit leery about how I was going to like the Value Resorts, because it's always hard to step down and take away amenities. You know, it can be a bit of a disappointment if you get used to it, but I actually have been pleasantly surprised, and I did not dislike any of the Value Resorts. So don't take my ranking today to mean that the fifth place one was horrible, because it's not. It's just that in terms of what each one has to offer and how likely you are to enjoy it, I'm going to rank it based on that, but not because I dislike anyone in particular. So after we talk about the Value Resorts and the ranking of those, I do have several news items to share with you and a quick tip of the day. So let's dive in to talking about the resorts. So there's some things that all the Value Resorts have in common that I want to discuss first, because we need to then get into what differentiates them in order to rank them. So all of the Value Resorts have bright, colorful theming with huge icons, adorning them based on whatever theme they happen to be. And I think they're particularly appealing to kids. The super colorful, fun theming is definitely sort of their thing. Compare that to the moderate resorts, which are all beautiful, but maybe not as fun to younger kids. So all of them are bright and colorful. They're all huge resorts, and that's one reason that I always recommend getting preferred rooms at value or moderate resorts where they are available, because the resorts are so big and you don't really have an idea of scale until you're there. I think they have 2,000 rooms on average at the value resorts, and I think one actually has almost 3,000 rooms, so they're really, really big places. All the value resorts have food courts that you can use to eat at. And I know that when we had little kids, we really missed it. We stayed at the boardwalk on our very first trip, and we found the food situation to be a little bit difficult with a toddler, because we just wanted to be able to grab something really quick. And instead, we had to choose some restaurants and sit-down places for the most part. And so having a food court would be super convenient, I think, especially with younger kids. They also do have pizza delivery. And if you have the dining plan, you can actually use dining plan credits for this as well. And so it's just really nice if you want to come back to your room and don't want to go out for dinner, you can have it brought to you. They drive a little like golf cart thing to bring the pizza right to your room. They do not not, however, have a table service restaurant. So while you do have food court and pizza delivery for food options, you will not have a table service restaurant at the value resorts. All of the value resorts have bus transportation. So no matter where you want to go, you're going to get there by bus unless you have your own car. The way that the bus transportation works varies between the value resorts, and we'll get into that a little bit, but you will be taking buses to all the Disney World locations. Another thing that the value resorts have in common is that they do have themed pools, but they don't have extras like water slides. Those can be found at the higher level resorts, but not at the value resorts. I guess one final thing that most of value resorts have in common is that the rooms open to the outside. So when you walk out, you are automatically outside for the most part. The exception to that is the suites at Art of Animation, which open to an indoor corridor. Depending on your situation, that may or may not be a good thing. If you have a car that you are planning to drive, it might be nice to be able to open your door and walk right out to the parking lot. However, it usually does mean more noise, as you know, all the outdoor noises and foot traffic and all that kind of stuff can make it a bit louder. So let's talk in a little bit more detail about the resorts themselves. So we're going to look at these in two batches. So there are five total value resorts. Three of them have All-Star in the name, and they are located right next to each other: sports, movies, and music. And all of them are not only physically located next to each other, but they also share buses between them sometimes. The likelihood of sharing buses just depends on the time of year that you're there and which park you're going to. I've stayed at all of them at different times of year, and sometimes the bus takes you directly to the park, and sometimes you end up having to share with the other resorts. All three of the All-Stars have the big icons peppered throughout based on the theming, and they also have big groups that often staying there. So for instance, if you have a cheerleading group that is at Disney World for a competition, they are most likely to be found at the All-Star resorts, in particular All-Star Sports, but sometimes they are at the other All-Stars as well. So the other two value resorts, Art of Animation and Pop Century, are located in a different area, and they are right next to each other. They do not share buses between the two resorts, however. They each have their own buses. If you look at a bird's eye view of Art of Animation and Pop Century, there's a lake in between, Hourglass Lake, and Pop Century and Art of Animation are mirror images of each other. The Art of Animation was supposed to be an extension of Pop Century, and Disney changed the concept for that, and it became Art of Animation. But they're right next to each other. You can walk between them on a bridge, in fact. But they do have their own buses. So if you get on a bus at Pop Century or Art of Animation, it's going to take you directly to wherever you're going without any internal stops or any other resort stops. So I think that's an important distinction as we look at ranking them. So I'm going to tell you my ranking of them. Once again, I don't dislike any of them. There are just different pros and cons. So number five is All-Star Movies. And I think the main reason that All-Star Movies is fifth for me is that it is last on the bus line. So the order, if you look at the physical layout, is All-Star Sports, All-Star Music, and All-Star Movies. So it is most likely to be the last one on the line. It is most likely that the buses will fill up before they get to you, you know, that sort of thing. So All-Star Movies is number five for me for that reason. Number four is All-Star Sports, and it is actually first as the All-Star resorts are lined up. The reason it's number four for me is the increased likelihood of big groups being there. And because All-Star Music, which I'll talk about in a second, actually has a couple of extra perks that I like. So All-Star Sports for me is number four, even though it's first on the bus line because of all the groups that often stay there. Number three is All-Star Music, and it's in the middle of the other two. And I really like that All-Star Music has suites available. I think they were used as like a testing or pilot location for Art of Animation, which has a lot of suites. And I just like having that option. I also like that the preferred rooms, which I recommend at all these resorts where it's available, are just in the two buildings that are closest to Melody Hall, which is the main building that has the lobby and the food court and the transportation. And so I just feel confident that when I book a preferred room there, I'm going to like where I end up. Plus it has the suites and it's in the middle. So it's not last on the line, but it's also not first, but at least you're not you know, at the end. So that leaves the final two. So I like both of the last two a lot. And number two is Art of Animation. And that's the one I just got home from. And it actually is one of my favorite Disney World resorts overall. But because most of Art of Animation is suites, it is a much higher price point than any of the other rooms. In fact, more than double. The room sizes are much bigger because they're suites and they allow up to six people and they have two bathrooms and three beds and all that kind of stuff. So you're definitely getting a lot of space for it. But I think if you are shopping in the value resort category, the price of the suites could be cost prohibitive. If you are just looking for the best possible experience for your family and, you know, some space to spread out, an extra bathroom, fantastic theming, my favorite in all of Disney World, in fact, then I think Art of Animation is an excellent pick. It is number two because of the price of the suites and also because the Little Mermaid rooms, which are standard, don't get any promotions. So if you have a deal that comes out that, you know, for a discount on rooms, Little Mermaid will be excluded. Disney doesn't have to offer any discounts for those rooms because they are booked up oftentimes. So they don't have to. But if you stay at one of the other value resorts, you are likely to be able to take advantage of those discounts. So if you ask me overall, what are your top favorite Disney World resorts? I would put Art of Animation on the list because I love it. But in terms of the value resort category, I think it has some downsides compared to number one, which is Pop Century. So Pop Century is my number one because it gives you the best bang for the buck in all of Disney World, in my opinion. And that's because it is priced similar to the All-Stars. I just did some spot checking before hitting record, and it looks to be maybe $10 more per night than the All-Stars. But you get direct buses, and because you're located right next to Art of Animation, you can walk over there, you can eat at their food court, they just started renting Surrey bikes where you can bike around the water on a path at Art of Animation. But if you're at Pop Century, you can easily walk over and take advantage of that. So I just feel like Pop Century gives you the best bang for the buck in terms of transportation, price, access to a little bit nicer value resort, that kind of thing. So I feel really comfortable recommending it for people. If you have the budget, I do think Art of Animation in a suite, particularly a Cars suite or a Nemo suite, are going to be appealing as well. So that's my ranking of the value resorts. And if you would like to chime in, I would love to hear your comments on the website. Just click on the podcast tab and find this episode where you can leave a comment. Let's now talk about some recent news. There's been a lot, and it's been mostly good news, but a couple of not so fun things. So first of all, Rivers of Light, which is the new nighttime show coming to Animal Kingdom, has an official opening date of April 22nd. So if your trip is April 22nd or later, then you can look forward to having that. We don't have times yet available for when that's going to be, but it does appear that there's going to be three showings of it. The dinner packages, which they will have dinner packages for Rivers of Light. It kind of maybe accidentally appeared in the Android version of My Disney Experience. So we know from that there's going to be three different showings and there's going to be dinner packages. It may soft open, which means unofficial opening, a few days before April 22nd, but there's no promises about that and your ability to see it if you're there before then. The park hours haven't come out yet for Rivers of Light, but we expect that will happen very soon, maybe even within a week or so. So stay tuned for times, but you should be able to see it if you're going April 22nd or later. Frozen Ever After is the new ride that has been in development at Epcot in the Norway section, and it previously was quoted as coming in spring 2016, then Disney said summer, and then just recently they put a date on the cast members' hub, which is where the cast members log on to get information, and they have put May 27th as the date for Frozen Ever After. So that's something that we can look forward to. And actually, Frozen Ever After is listed in My Disney Experience as an Epcot attraction, so they have taken the time to add it already. We just don't have fast passes available for it yet or anything like that. It is possible that fast passes may not be available until it opens. That is what Disney did with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. They waited till it was open and then people could book it. So if you're going May 27th, you may not be able to book your fast passes for it way ahead of time. We'll just have to wait and see how they decide to handle it. It will likely be a tier one fast pass. A lot of people have been asking me that. I don't know, but I'm just going to assume that it's going to be a tier one fast pass. And if you are familiar with, or if you're not familiar with fast passes, there are two parks that have tiers, and that's Hollywood Studios and Epcot. And you have to pick one attraction from tier one, and then your other two fast passes can be from another tier. And tier one is usually more popular rides. So at Epcot, it would be Frozen Ever After and Test Track, for instance, in tier one, and you have to pick one or the other. So that should be coming this summer. Another big thing that just happened is Purple Magic Bands became available. So if you're staying on site at Disney World Resorts, you get to pick free Magic Bands. You get to pick the color of it for your stay. And there's like green and orange and red and blue and pink. And now there is the much desired purple. Everybody's been so excited about purple. You've been able to purchase purple ones for a little while, but the free ones that are given to on-site guests were not, purple wasn't on the list, but it is now. So if your Magic Bands have not shipped and you can still go in and put a preference, then you can go ahead and do purple if you are interested in having that color during your trip. If you book a package, you're supposed to get luggage tags that coordinate with the color of your Magic Bands. And this does not apply to room-only reservations, just packages. And so when you get your Magic Bands in the mail, look for your luggage tags to be underneath where the Magic Bands are. Sometimes people miss them and don't realize that they have come. But there is a purple luggage tag that coordinates with the purple Magic Band. You may be aware that Disney World increased park ticket prices. The one-day tickets went to a tiered structure where during busier times of year, the one-day tickets cost more compared to less busy times. And then all the other tickets went up a little bit as well. But they also, effective as of today, just increased the Disney dining plan prices across the board. This is a little bit of a strange increase because a lot of times it's just the summer. When they release packages for the following year, then they'll also release Disney dining plan price increases. So to have something like this happen in March is a little bit strange. The prices in general went up about $2 to $3 per person per night for the dining plan. And so I don't know. I assume this summer they'll have another one when the 2017 packages come out. But Disney's just overall raising lots of prices, probably because they can, because things have been so busy. And the last bit of news is that Joy and Sadness are coming to Epcot in April. So you can meet them in the new character spot location, which has Baymax as well. One thing that is worth mentioning with character spot is that the original character spot area has Mickey and Friends, and that has a Fast Pass Plus. The new area, which is just right across the breezeway from it, has Baymax, and Joy and Sadness will be in that area in April. The Fast Pass that you get for character spot works for Mickey and Friends. It does not currently work for the area that includes Baymax. And there's lots of information online that is incorrect about this, including Disney's own website. But as of right now, that's how it works. So I wouldn't right now get a character spot Fast Pass in the hopes of meeting Baymax, Joy, or Sadness because they're just so far have not been set up for it. However, it wouldn't surprise me if they do get a Fast Pass. So we'll just have to keep an eye on it. I just don't want you to think that getting one right now is a guarantee to see them because it may not, unless they change the way things work, that's not going to be the case. So I think that wraps up the news. I do want to give you a quick tip of the day before we wrap up. My quick tip today is that if you do online check-in for Disney World, your Disney World Resort, which I recommend that you do because then you can put in room requests and you can get your credit card set up on file and set up your PIN that you want to use for charging. You can also opt into text messages for being notified when your room is ready. Now, I actually, this feature has been around for a while, but I actually never got the text messages, even though I opted in until this trip, until March 2016. But when it works, it is really handy. So I got a text message. It was a split stay, so I had two different hotel reservations. And each time I got a text that said, your room isn't quite ready. And then when it was ready, it said that they said my room number, and then it included a link to a map of the resort. So it was easy to find where the room was. And then if you have your magic bands, then you just get into your room with your band on. Now, you may want to stop by the front desk if you want to ask questions or whatever. But if you want to, you can just skip that and go right to your room if the text messages are working. But in order for it to work, you have to opt in during your online check-in process. So I recommend doing that just for convenience sake. I think that'll wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this episode, you can look in the show notes in your podcast app or click on the podcast tab at the top of the website. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.